Lord Jesus, I worship you and you are good. Lord, I pray that you would give me wisdom. And I pray that you would touch anyone who's listening and minister yourself to them, your presence to them, that they would be filled up to the brim and they'd be encouraged that you are everything and all they need. In your name, I pray, amen. Hello, this is Michael Ryan. Welcome to Knowing Jesus. You can subscribe to these podcast audio booths by just typing in Michael Ryan's booths in any iTunes search query. We're going to jump right into Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Okay, so context. In chapter 5, the previous chapter, Paul is explaining our justification through Jesus Christ, and he's also explaining how sin entered the world through Adam, and how it entered mankind through Adam, and that sin came from him, and that sin produced death, and that's how death also entered the world through sin, and that basically Jesus Christ has come to overcome that and be righteousness and bring life to the world, and that the law also entered, which brought out sin and exposed the sinfulness of people, and the sinfulness that has abounded also allowed grace to be abounded. The more sin that there was, the more that God's grace could be shown. So Paul opens by saying, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? No. And I'm going to come back to this later on, but God's grace is not a license to sin. It's a doorway out of sin. It's a doorway out of guilt. It's a doorway out of feeling like you need to beat yourself up because you are falling short or you are struggling with this or that. That's the idea. Grace is not a license to do whatever you want. If you've been saved, if you've been born again, you're a new creation and your desires are new towards the Lord. You're alive towards God, and no person alive towards God is desiring to sin and to live in it. So he continues, how shall he who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were united with him. You were bonded with him in all ways. First with his death, you were baptized into the death of Jesus Christ. And what does this mean exactly? I'm not going to pretend like I have all the nuggets of knowledge on this. But I will say to you, though, what can be encouraging is that your sinfulness, your sin nature, yes, it's still there. But there's been a death in you. Now, when God told Adam and Eve that if they ate of the fruit, they would die. Did they die right away? No, they didn't. They began a process of dying. So I believe here when it talks about us being dead to sin, I believe that there's a lot going on. I believe that we're dead to the power of sin. I believe that we're dead to the guilt of sin. But I also believe that as we're growing in this faith, as we're moving and seeing Jesus Christ and moving closer to him, our sin nature is, or the sinfulness is withering away. It's dying. It's growing weaker. We become more aware of it, but its presence in our lives is dwindling as the Spirit of God in us is making us look like our Messiah, our Jesus Christ. Well, let's go further on about how to overcome sin. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. There's a key, friends. Resurrection, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is much more than Jesus Christ coming back to life. It's much more than that. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is very profound, but one of its basic implications for your life is that He was raised and you have been raised. And that's a daily experience. That's not a one-time thing. That's something that you daily walk in. You daily walk in the resurrection of Jesus. You daily walk in being raised with Jesus Christ. That is your hope of glory. Jesus Christ in you, raised. And that is your ticket. That is the way that you overcome sin, because it's not you overcoming it anymore. He lives to overcome it. He lives to give you the newness of life. You don't do it anymore. It's not you, it's Him. You've been united with Him. It says in verse 5, "For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection." Now check this out, verse 6, "Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for He who has died is free from sin." So basically, we have been raised and we have the likeness of Jesus Christ. So what does that mean exactly, that we shall be in the likeness of His resurrection? Well, in the future, He's the first fruits of what's to come. We will have a perfect body. We will have a perfect body, no sin nature whatsoever. So I think that Paul's jumping back and forth between what's currently happening, what will happen. You will have a likeness of Jesus Christ, and that you will have a spiritual body like Jesus Christ. The same way He was reappearing and disappearing and doing certain things, and He was able to eat after He came back from the dead. I believe that you're going to be able to have this ability once we are in the new kingdom, and your body of sin will be fully done away with, because we've been united with Him. We're going to be like Him. He's the first fruits. He's the first of the new kind. And our old self was crucified with Him. So it's just constantly withering away until it just gets to that point where it doesn't even exist any longer. And we fully become outside of the power of sin, or outside of the scope and presence of sin, and we'll have this new body. But there's still peace for you right now. In verse 8 it says, "Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him." Now check this. This is the point that comes back to how it impacts you right now, that you live with Jesus Christ. He lives in you. Okay, if you died with Him, you shall also live with Him. All right? So there's an implication for you right now that He's living in you. He's living in you. And it's important that you understand that He lives in you. Because what's going to happen as we get down further on is that that's your only power source out of sin. That's your only power source. How to be free from sin and free from the bondage and tyranny of it inside of you. And Paul goes on to say, "Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death no longer is master over Him." So that's encouraging for us, because basically Paul's talking about that we shall live with Him. So I think that it's present and it's also future. We shall live with Him. Well, we do live with Him right now. We know that we have the Spirit of Christ and He dwells in us, but we also will live with Him physically. And the encouragement is that understand that He's already died and He won't die again. He's never to die again. Death is no longer master over Him. So get this. If we live with Him and He doesn't die and we're always living with Him, well, then we'll never die. We'll never die. You will never die. It doesn't matter what you've seen. It doesn't matter what your doctor tells you. You will not die. Yes, your heart will stop, but you will not die. Your soul will not experience death. You will not die. It's simply an entrance into and a continuation of a life with Jesus Christ. He lives, and He has not. He lives to never die. So we don't ever have to worry about being separated from that. For the death He died to sin once for all. But the life that He lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Again, let's go back to the present. You are dead to sin now. Sin is dying in you. Sin is something that is losing its power and its grip as you're recognizing that you are alive to God. You see, as long as you forget that you're alive to God, you're going to continue to be alive to sin. The more you forget that, the more of a bondage you place yourself. You're alive to God, and it has implications. Verse 12, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust. This is really important, friends. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Okay, so let's get this, let's understand this. Verse 12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you should obey its lust. Sin has lust. Sin brings you in by its lusts. The temptations that go on in your head, the cravings, the strong impulses, that's sin calling towards you. That's temptation. All right, so scripture is saying that sin tries to get your attention through lust. But what we end up doing is we present ourselves to sin. We respond to the lusts. We respond to the temptations, and we present our bodies, our tongue, our arm, whatever it is, we present ourselves, our minds, we present it to sin. So here's what scripture is saying. It says, don't present yourself to sin. But here's the important key. When you're experiencing those lusts, when you're experiencing those temptations, no longer present yourself to sin. You see, before you had Jesus living in you, that's all you could do was present yourself to sin because you had no other nature except your sin nature. But now that you have Jesus Christ living in you, you can present yourself to God. You can present yourself to God. And this, to me, I believe that it's the way you present yourself to God is through worship, fixing your eyes on Him. You don't have to get rid of your lustful thinking and your temptations before you present yourself to the Lord. You don't have to. You don't have to fight this stuff. You just present yourself because you're alive to God. And your sin nature is dying. It's already crucified. You're dead to it. It's not having its strength over you. So guess what? If you present yourself to God, who you're alive to, He will deliver you from that. He will deliver you because sin does not have dominion over you. The Lord Jesus has dominion over you. Now, there's two ways that sin can master you that I see here. Talks about the power, that it no longer has power. I believe that sin has power. I believe that the power is the feeling that you must satisfy those lustful feelings, those temptations, that you must obey it. Otherwise, you're not going to have peace and the feeling won't go away and you've got to do it. It's going to make you feel better. But that's not true. That's not true that the sin doesn't have any more power. The presence of Jesus Christ is enough to fight the lusts. It's enough to fight the temptations that come to you. Satisfaction doesn't have to come by doing the sin. Satisfaction can actually come by entering the presence of Jesus Christ. Do you see what I'm saying, friends? That the power of sin, it's deceiving because we're so used to operating as if sin is the only chief in town, that we go right to it. It reminds me of this little story someone told me about an elephant who was chained, it was so used to being chained, right? And having a chain to its foot, I guess it was part of a circus, that even when they took the chain off of the foot, the elephant still responded as if it had a chain on him. And that's what we're like. We have a chain on us. We had one. But when we believe in Jesus, we no longer have that chain to sin. But we still act that way. When we have lustful feelings, or when we feel disconnected from God, or we feel like we don't care about the things of the Lord, or we're interested in and pursuing whatever sinful fantasy or thought or emotion or impulse that comes to us, we present ourselves to that sin. When the impulse is there, we respond by presenting ourselves to sin. But I'm saying that you can now make a different decision. You can decide to worship the Lord. You can decide to present yourself to Jesus Christ. It doesn't have power. The second way is that I believe, and this is why Paul says in verse 14, for sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. You don't have to worry about guilt. See, guilt is another way that sin can master you. What it does is it makes you believe that you can't go to God. It keeps you from going to God. It keeps you isolated from the person who you need the most, which is Jesus Christ. The further you are from God, the more powerless and susceptible you become to the power of sin. So the further you stay away from God, the easier it is for you to go present yourself to sin once you start having the temptations and the lustful impulses. Do you understand what I'm saying? That it's an ugly cycle that you can get in of power and guilt. That's what sin puts on you. It isolates you. It makes you feel like you're a horrible person. And then it gets you by its lust. And it keeps you stuck in that addictive, abusive cycle. But praise be to God, Jesus Christ, that you're alive to him and he lives in you. And you no longer have to be part of that cycle any longer. You no longer have to be. And that's why I believe Paul goes on to explain in verse 15, what then shall we sin? What then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? May it never be. He just finished explaining in verse 14 that you're not under the law, so that you don't have to worry about guilt. You don't have to worry about having a guilty conscience that there's something wrong with you. You can't change your status with God. You can't change your relationship to God, your position to God. Whether you sin much today or sin little, you still have the same righteousness. You're complete, you're holy, you're beloved, you're perfect, you're victorious, you're acceptable, you're in the family. You're in the family. So you can't mess this up. We have an open door, a swinging door back to the presence of God. You have a swinging door back to the presence of God. If you drop the ball today, you have the opportunity to go right back to business as usual with the Lord, because you're not under the law anymore. You're under grace. Sin can't keep you down. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you're able to beat one of those, if you're able to beat the power or the guilt, then you really have the upper hand, at least on sin. But I'm telling you can beat both of them. But if you do fall to the power of sin, well, you don't have to fall to the guilt that it does. You don't have to get mastered by the guilt. If you fall into sin, you don't have to stay down feeling horrible about yourself. You have a swinging door back into the presence of God to go worship him, because you're saved by grace. You don't have to be susceptible to the power of God, because when the temptations hit you like a tsunami, you can go worship and ask to be filled up with Jesus' Holy Spirit, and he will give it to you. And there's a lot more good stuff in this chapter. He uses the word presenting yourselves. And I believe that it's important you understand that you have to present yourself to the Lord Jesus. He says that whoever you present yourself to, that's who you obey, and whoever you obey, that's who you're a slave to. And I'm saying, be a slave to God. Be a servant to God, or a bondservant even better. A willful servant to the Lord, and that is going to get you out of the problem of sin. You know, I'm not asking you to overcoming sin, or conquering sin rather, is not your business. It's the business of the Lord. You present yourself to the Lord and let him do it. Jesus Christ will do it in you. It's not your battle. Your job is to present yourself and wait for him to accomplish what his work is in you. That's the abundant life that we have. That's the new covenant that we have, that was purchased through the blood of Jesus Christ, that he does all the work for us. It says, now the God of peace, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will. Check this out. Working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. It's not you. You don't do it. He does it in you, friends. So present yourselves to the Lord. And once you present yourself to the Lord and you make a practice of presenting yourself to the Lord when the temptations come, when the lust comes, even when none of those things are coming, you just present.